Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, and for this hour, host of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. We are joined for the fullness of the hour by our dear and old and trusted monthly friend, Brother Paige Tyler, who will be working with us today addressing step 12.
Not 10.
12 steps for, step 10. For the 12 steps for Christians, indeed for that matter, 12 steps for anyone. And Brother Paige, thank you for your correcting capacity. God bless you. Good to have you on board.
Good to be here, Bradley, as always.
I actually meant to say 10, and it was simply a verbal faux pas. What is step 10, Brother Paige?
Step 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we're wrong, promptly admitted it. This is the give up no ground step. We're in the first of the glory steps. Now, if you've been following along with us, and if you're lucky enough to actually have been working these steps, and you've worked through step 9, you have conquered sin. You've conquered the sin of your past. But guess what? You're still human. And the Bible says that he who says he has no sin is a liar and the truth is not in him. So, and that was a present tense statement. It wasn't a past tense statement in the Bible. So, we have sin which comes at us on a daily basis. And if you think that you don't have sin coming at you on a daily basis, then you're probably not working a Christian program or living a Christian life. Because if Satan isn't coming after you and trying to destroy you, then you're probably already in his camp. So more than likely, if you're like the rest of us, you struggle with sin. Because Satan is constantly, persistently trying to drag you back in to, you used to have a statement, Bradley, something about the southern pull of.
It wasn't mine. Pastor Bill Hybels of Willow Creek Community Church, he spoke of the downward gravitational pull of depravity.
Yes.
I always love that phrase. I don't love the reality of it, but I think it captures the essence of the problem.
Right. It's constant and consistent like gravity, and it will pull you down like gravity, constant and consistently, no matter how much you flap your wings to try to stay up. So we need something other than our own energy. If we could maintain a sin-free life of our own energy, then the Bible and the cross would be useless.
Well, if we're acting on our own energy, we are effectively operating on the principle of flesh rather than the Spirit of God.
Exactly.
And the Bible says that our flesh and the Spirit of God are, and I'll speak French because I know you love it, au contraire. They are contrary to or at odds with or even more at enmity with one another. So we can't be operating. The fact that we were operating in our flesh in the first place is what got us into trouble.
Exactly. And as I have watched other, and this is in no means an attempt to degrade these marvelous men of Christianity that I have watched fall by the wayside as they've aged and have become comfortable in their own salvation and kind of laid back on their laurels and watched them drag them down. Jimmy Swiker, Howard Camping, I mean, my goodness, man who spread the Bible all around the world in just about every language going. And here he, in the end, is drugged down by his own foibles. Why? Because we are all subject to the same thing. The minute we take our foot off the gas tank, we're going to start coasting backwards.
And you know, brother, I wish that we could cite Jimmy Swaggart and Harold Camping. These were examples from perhaps 20, 30 years ago. In recent times, there have been several very highly renowned evangelical leaders who have fallen from grace into the cesspool of their own sin. It's frightening. You know, I remember back in the 25 years ago when the Boston Globe broke the story of the pedophilia scandal within the Catholic Church. And there were some rather jaded Protestants and evangelicals who thought that our Catholic friends got what was coming to them. But all along, within the evangelical and Protestant worlds, we've had our own scandals. There may be smaller in stature and less global, but no less severe, no less significant, no less destructive. And I think our Catholic friends have gotten their act together, and we're still stumbling and falling. You know, it's frightening.
We're still stumbling and falling, thinking that we got it right.
Exactly.
Oh, we're saved. Yes, we are saved. We're saved from hell. We're saved from the second death. But we are not free from sin unless we actively work against sin in our lives daily.
Yeah, if you'll allow me to refine the language, we're not free from the presence of sin, and the presence of sin continues to lurk, and continues to work on us if we're not intentional and if we're not clear-minded. You know, I'm sure you're going to agree with me. You've been around the block, as have I. Many people, and very sincerely, have their experienced a long time ago their grand act of repentance. It was quite sincere. But that grand act of repentance, as the whole premise of step 10 suggests, needs to be followed up daily by spiritual health checks, you know, taking a constant assessment of where we are in the Lord. And I personally would argue, and I'd like to talk about this as the broadcast unfolds, I think we have to be clear-minded. The Bible, Peter especially, and Paul, both tell us that we need to be clear-minded, lest something bad go awry.
Right.
Or we, you know, so that grand act of repentance in and of itself, in one sense, is not enough.
Exactly. The footline to this, or the scripture that goes along with this says, so if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. And Satan, okay, can't drag you back to hell, but he'd be more than happy to drag all the people around you into hell as an example of why they shouldn't become Christians because of your behavior.
And you could also argue, just playing now with imagery and language, you could also argue that he may not be able to take you to hell, but you may give the impression that heaven is more hell than heaven because of the, you know, yeah. I like that too. I'm glad you do.
Yeah.
You can use it, Paige, as long as you give me full attribution, all right?
I'm not giving you any credit. I'm stealing it shamelessly.
You stinker. Well, you're a man, you know, I mean, how many years into your sobriety and Christianity, you're a man who continues with clarity of mind to check yourself simply by way of utilization of these steps.
Right, because I work the 12 steps. And this 10th step is step 1 through 9 that you do every day. The first time you go through, it's laborious. It's you're learning how to do it. It's like anything. It's like learning how to repair a car. But once you've gone through and learned how to repair a car and you become a car repair man and you start repairing cars on a daily basis, and each day you repair cars one after the other, and different cars come in with different problems, carburetor, starter motor, compression issues. I mean, you've repaired all these issues. After a while, you start becoming very very astute at identifying and and putting down and correcting these problems in various different cars. When you work these steps and you do it on a daily basis, it's the same thing. You start to become very astute at identifying your character defects and squashing them before they get carried away and do any additional harm to other people.
Well, if I may put it this way, it becomes a kind of vocation which leads to, if you will, a lifestyle with clarity of mind, with humility of spirit. When every morning we wake up, I don't think there's a soul alive who doesn't look at himself or herself in the mirror just to make certain you're properly groomed. We're grooming ourselves spiritually with the aid and the asset, if you will, of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to be doing, if you will, spiritual checks on a routine, even daily basis. If we're not, something's wrong. And even if we don't pick up on that, those around us will be recognizing the improper grooming. But that being said, you and I need to recognize the clock. Brad Lacey, Brother Paige Tyler, we return with another round of The Great Message in just a moment. Brad Lacey, Brother Paige Tyler of the 12 Steps for Christians predicated upon biblical teachings, returning for a second round of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Brother, I want to put something to you. You may determine that this is just going down a rabbit hole, or it may have some value, but it's an interesting query. You have come out of an earlier life of alcoholism by your public testimony. I'm not speaking out of turn. And I know that there's a divided opinion on this. There are those Christians who would argue that once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. And this is not, by the way, the second option is not an advocacy to return to any measure of drink. But there are other Christians who will say, I'm not an alcoholic, I'm a Christian, who may have a struggle with alcohol, but they're reluctant to speak of themselves still as alcoholics. And there's a similar vein of thought with sin. So it's been said that we're sanctified sinners. We may have come to Christ. We are still sinners, albeit sanctified sinners. And there are others who would argue that we're no longer sinners, though the principle of sin continues to lurk within and around us, and we can fall prey to it. What do you think?
Well, the first thing is that it's because you're not thinking of alcoholism as a disease.
Right.
Because it requires exposure. But so does a virus require exposure. Mm-hmm. And because someone gets exposed to a virus, we don't say that they're not infected with the virus and therefore don't have the disease. And once you expose yourself enough to either a virus or to alcohol, you can become afflicted with a disease. And once it becomes a disease, then you are an alcoholic. And that has nothing to do with your Christianity. I don't see how the two have anything to do with one another. I'm an asthmatic. I've had asthma my entire life. There's nothing to do with my Christianity. Mm-hmm. It's a disease that I was born with. So, and I have to do what is necessary each and every day to make sure that I don't have an asthma attack. Same thing with alcoholism. I have to do the same thing every day in order to make sure that I don't slip back into active alcoholic addiction.
Well, I understand on one level. I've been diagnosed, apart from my cardiac condition, I've been diagnosed with diabetes, and after a 46-year love affair with Coca-Cola, I stopped drinking Coca-Cola 6 months ago, cold turkey. You know,
I knew it was going to get you one day.
I'm sorry?
I knew it was going to get you one day.
Well, I gave it up, and you know, by the grace of God, after a 46-year love affair, I don't even miss it. By God's grace. You know, but now let me ask you, I'm simply probing in an exploratory fashion. I'm not challenging, but probing. What is the distinction between alcoholism being a disease on the one and an act of sin on the other?
I think it initially starts out as an act of sin, not realizing that people do not realize that it can become a disease. So it starts out as an act of sin. I overindulge. And as I overindulge, I become a pickle. If I put a cucumber in a barrel of vinegar for too long, it will become a pickle. So the overindulgence is a sin. It's a gluttony kind of sin. But, you know, we're getting some kind of feedback joy out of it. And so we're sinning. Then all of a sudden we say, oh, this is getting out of control and we want to stop. And we start wanting to stop. And when you're trying to stop doing something that you know is harming you, you know you need to stop and you can no longer stop it, just like the Bible says, it's no longer you doing it, but it's a sin that's in you that's doing it. I agree that alcoholism starts out as a sin, but once you've been exposed to that virus long enough, it will become a disease. That you, once you take a sip of alcohol, you cannot stop yourself from drinking until you run out of money or you pass out.
So do you argue, I'm not meaning to put words in your mouth, would you argue that once we come to Christ and have been given new life, what is your opinion? Can one make the distinction between the principle of sin continuing to abide within us, and yet we are a new creature? We're no longer the sinner we once were. We're something new. But the old principle remains at play. Or are we still sinners, albeit sanctified sinners?
It's no different than any other sin. Before I came to Christ, I led a life that ignored the rules of promiscuity. And I was fairly promiscuous in my life. When I came to Christ, I lost the taste for that. That became distasteful to me. The Spirit of Christ made it distasteful to me. However, I have the perfect right to return to it at any time. And it will begin to destroy my life just as it had before. But through the Spirit of Christ, I have been given the choice, the right, to choose not to do that today. Well, it's the same thing with the alcohol.
You know, that's a phrase that, and I do give you full attribution, as Brother Paige Tyler says. Never hurts to do that, Paige, just to let you know. But I often quote you, and I was just quoting you the other day to a fellow believer who's struggling. And I said, you know, I know that there's an overwhelming urge to do something. You don't have to do it right now. Why don't you do this something else with me right now? You don't have to do this right now. Do this with me instead. All right? And I actually find that it a lot, people who are struggling, they're being overwhelmed. You give that option. You don't have to do it right now. It allows them to breathe. That's been my experience. You give them some breathing space. And during that time of breathing, they can get their heads back on straight, at least in the immediate. You know, it might play out every day, but I don't have to do this now. Yeah. You taught me that.
Yeah, when I first gave up alcohol, my period was 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to drink this 5 minutes. Yeah. We'll drink 5 minutes from now. Right now, we're going to do this. And then that would take my mind off of it for a while. And 2 hours later, I feel like drinking again. I said, well, we don't have to drink right now. We'll drink in 5 minutes. Instead, we're going to go do this. And you get through the 5 minutes, and the urge is gone.
Yeah, you know, I didn't have I didn't have the 12 steps available to me 50 years ago when my psychological maladies struck. But I remember operating upon a principle that I called baby steps. And you're dealing with increments of baby steps with five-minute increments of time. Baby steps. For 5 minutes, I don't have to do it. You know, but by minute number six, your mind has been taken to some other area, you know?
To somewhere else.
Voila.
And next thing you know, it's 2 hours later.
Exactly. Praise God.
And you forgot about that drink.
Which
you
means
know, and that's the spirit of the Lord.
Yeah, which means it's not helpful to be. We don't have to be brooding. You know, I see men and women. They sit there and they brood all day. Change your pattern of behavior. As the great Dr. Jordan Peterson says, the first step to any promotion of welfare, clean up your room, make your bed, do something that breaks the back. In fact, I have a thought. I'll come to this on the other end of the break. Brad Lacey, Brother Paige Tyler, we return with the great message in just a moment. Brad Lacey, Brother Paige Tyler, returning for the third round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. You know, Brother, and this deals, I think, within the realm of repentance and maintaining a clear slate. Step 10, being applied. My lovely wife, last Sunday, my wife and I would have been married 29 years.
Oh.
And I decided to take the day and just set it apart in honor of my wife. And so I wasn't in on my pulpit this past week. And God bless me. And I was, you know, reflecting upon my lovely lady. But Peggy and I, whenever we had a disagreement, we could really find ourselves in a pitfall. We were both strong-minded. We married both a little later in life. So disagreements became very problematic. We got through them, don't get me wrong, but they were problematic for us. And we would find ourselves in these free falls of disagreement. And we learned something. It didn't take very long to learn this in marriage. How do you break the back of this? So we decided we would change our location. And invariably, it worked like a charm, like your five-minute rule. So we might take a ride up the street, maybe go have some lunch somewhere, and it would break the back. The whole change of ambience would break the back. But one time, it wasn't working. And before you knew it, we found ourselves up on the Jersey Turnpike. We found ourselves at Liberty State Park off exit 14. We found ourselves crossing the Hudson on the ferry, dropping us off at Battery Park. The next thing you know, we're still arguing. We're in the Bowery. It was a hot day. We're in New York's Bowery. And we sat down on a park bench. And we were both thirsty, so I went into this convenience store and got a couple of Snapples. And we find ourselves watching this African-American gentleman, and I mentioned his race because he looked the spitting image of Michael Jordan, the basketball player. And in truth, he was teaching a group of kids, black, white, and Asian, to play basketball. And we're watching him instruct these kids, and as we're watching him, we're calming down. And he was so good with these kids that it was as if he was ministering to us. And before we left that park in the Bowery, Peggy and I were man and wife again, lovers as never before, you know? But it took something from, it was a beautiful story, but yeah, I expect you to laugh. And then we took in a movie on the Lower East Side, But we had to get outside of ourselves. And I think the whole premise of the 12 steps for Christians, well, the 12-step movement, broadly speaking, that concept that always throws me, but the older I grow, the more I get it, that higher power, you and I are looking to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And he has given to us from outside of ourselves his Holy Spirit. And if we're willing to learn from him, We can turn those five-minute intervals into hours and days and weeks and months and even years.
And that's a funny one. You touched on the term higher power, which used to throw me. And I've come to understand that this 12-step program was designed to take a person who was totally alienated from Christ. And I've seen this. I've seen total, radical atheists who were exposed to the 12-step program. And they said, I can go along with everything you got there, but that God stuff. And in the AA program, everybody says, okay. unlike in church. Okay, you don't have to accept that.
By the way, they're using the church building.
Oh, yeah, in the basement. And say, okay, you don't have to accept that. You don't worry about that. And I've watched them come all the way down the line. I have walked the walk with a person from atheism, from radical atheism, all the way to the day they said to me, no, Paige, not God bless me. No, God bless you.
Yes.
You see, they come the full gamut. That they began to understand that there was some power greater than them.
Well, we have to remember
they
something.
They did not know what it was. And with that, that's all God, that's all Christ needs.
Yes. We have to remember something, and this is not in any way. I'm a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not looking to minimize the reality of Christ, nor his name. But we do have to remember that even in the gospel narratives of Christ's life and ministry, he did not start out his ministry by declaring that he was God. He even told his disciples, you've learned this now, keep it to yourselves. I think evangelism is contextual. And there are many people who are not prepared to get the full-bloom message right up front. They have to work their way into it. Maybe we have to earn their trust. Maybe we're trying to tell them about Jesus and they're still trying to figure out who you and I are. And Jesus is twice or three times removed. I'm not looking to minimize Jesus. I'm looking at what's the best approach to make Jesus known. And even Jesus held back his own of who he was until later in his ministry when he had proven himself, if you will. I'm using language loosely here. Not that he had to prove himself, he's God. But he took the time to credential himself, if you will, before he made that profession. Public.
Exactly. And we have to remember, you may be the only version of the Bible that someone has ever seen. And if they can't trust the faith that you have, then how can you expect them to have faith?
Well, this is interesting that you put it that way. Yesterday, I was doing a recording for a one-minute message that I apply in another mode. And I spoke of the fact that with the Philadelphia Bible Society, of which I serve as president, we exist by charter, I quote, to freely distribute the Word of God. The American Bible Society, which is now also based in Philly and which is the granddaddy of all Bible societies, they have a global reach. Their purpose, in large measure, I'm paraphrasing, but they want to help people engage with the Bible. So Bible distribution, Philadelphia Bible Society, Bible engagement, American Bible Society. But what about the plethora of churches and ministries that literally, and I use the word in an affectionate way, a creative way, litter the landscape. I think that by last measure, churches and synagogues, something like 375,000 throughout the United States. What is their mission? By my estimate, to be embodiments of the Word of God. To be existential, experiential declarations of what this word is conveying.
People should see something different than us, than what they see in the world. If they don't see anything different between us and the rest of the world, why should they follow us?
I remember back in 1987 when I took an alumni tour to Europe with Gordon College, my alma mater. And we were visiting various sites of the Protestant Reformation in France, Germany, and Switzerland. It was a lovely trip. I was much younger then. I was still in my late 20s. And I decided, in those days, I would wear T-shirts. So every day on that trip, one day I'm wearing a T-shirt with the face of John Steinbeck, the American writer. Second day, I'm wearing a Coca-Cola T-shirt. Third day, I'm wearing a Boston Red Sox T-shirt, down the line. I don't wear T-shirts or shirts with that kind of iconography any longer, and it's fine if other people do. I'm not finding fault. I simply don't any longer, simply because I don't want anything of that sort. I'm still a Red Sox fan. I don't drink Coke anymore. I still love English literature. But I don't want anything of that to get in the way of people being able to discern the presence of Christ in me. It's my prayer that my life gives some glimmer of Christ forth. What concerns me is that my personality could get in the way. And that's an interesting one. To what extent do we lend our personas to Christ, or do we get carried away with ourselves? That's still a struggle for me. But yes, people need to be able to see Christ in us, because otherwise they may never encounter him.
Exactly. And if you're struggling with yourself in order to bring forth the Spirit of Christ through to other people, people see it.
Yes.
You know, my friends down in North Carolina who have known me now for a few years, that have given me a nickname now. Mm-hmm. Finally, they gave me a nickname. Guess what it was? Preach.
You're called Preach.
I'm going like, what is it about me that people give me these kind of nicknames?
Well, you know what that means? It means that you're going to get your own show on HBO or Max or Stars. You know, it's going to be a reality show. And just think the power you'll have to make Christ known through a program called Preach. This is Brad Lacey and Preach Tyler. We return with a final round of The Great Message in just a moment. Brad Lacey and Brother Paige Tyler returning for one final round of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Brother Paige, I'm sure it's as true for you as it is for me. It's certainly true of my plethora of other guests to this broadcast. How time flies. Everyone is always surprised at how quickly the time has flown, and that's true in life. And the scripture upon which step 10 is predicated. So let's repeat the step. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. The scripture is from 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. What I am wont to consider within the framework of this step is that if we're not careful, time flies. And if we're not being attuned, I mentioned, my wife and I would have been married 29 years this past Sunday. We got 1 month shy of 26 together. How those years flew by. And now it's 3 years later since her passing. We don't want too much of our lives to pass without rectifying the problems. So we need to be continuously vigilant with the time we are given. Is that a fair enough accentuation?
Exactly. This also frees us. It frees us from the burden of the sin. Because when we're involved in the sin cycle, we're committing the sin, we're justifying the sin, and we're defending the sin, and we're burning off all this energy on sin. Whereas if we're taking the time on a daily basis, and this is like not only just on a daily basis, this is as the day goes along, if I feel I have offended you, I turn and I immediately say, oh, I didn't mean to say it that way. I really meant to say it like this, because I perceive that the way I said it could be taken offensively. And of course, I mean, later on that day, review it and decide that I need to get back to you. But the faster I can do that, the less damage that's done, the more it frees me for the work of the Lord. And the less barriers I construct between me and being able to help someone see the Lord in me. Because when my glaring sins are out in front of me, the people can't see the Lord for my sins. But if I am regularly cleaning the glass between me and them, It was just wiping my sins away and correcting them, humbling myself, admitting when I'm wrong, and taking a step back. Then I give them an opportunity to see the Spirit of the Lord in me.
Well, you know, we all have patterns of behavior on a daily basis. And the ideal for my pattern every day can put a kink into it any given day. But, you know, I will brush my teeth, shave, shower, and dress. I'll take my medicine. I make my bed. I like to work for a few minutes with some dumbbells just to keep toned up. I have a private personal devotion, and that's before I've even gone downstairs. Okay, it would be helpful if on a daily basis I built into that daily or regular regimen, even if not daily, if I were to build into that regular regimen a personal spiritual checkup, look myself in the mirror spiritually, utilizing these. I love it. I love how you put it. These are the glory steps. Was that, and I'm not meaning this cheekily, was that original to you, or did you get, I
yes,
love it.
That's original, I love it. Original to me, I think.
Well,
I
to,
think
to apply the
that.
Glory steps on a consistent basis, to make that a part of our daily regimen or regular regimen, I mean, things come up.
Right.
How helpful that must be, and can be, and is.
It makes my day so much better when I have taken that time first thing in the morning. The rest of the day goes so much better.
Yeah.
So much easier, and I feel so much more content at the end of the day. I don't know, you know, I can't, you know, say, here goes it's this part or that part or this part. It's just, if I do these things, this happens.
Yeah.
And therefore I do them because the good things happen.
Well, I find, again, I reiterate something I was accentuating earlier in this conversation. I accentuate the need for clarity of mind. The older I get, I use index cards. I put everything down in an index card, all the things I need to do for the day, phone calls, emails, bills to be paid, whatever. I put it all down on an index card, and I'm constantly or continuously revising the index card, continuously. It helps me to maintain clear focus so that I don't lose sight of things. I think when these, call them demons, whether literally or figuratively, these sins, whatever the expression of the disease may be, whatever the onset of obstruction is, we can lose sight of them when they take over. And they bog us down, and we don't see life clearly, and they get in the way of living a life that is clear-minded and productive. So to add this step on a daily or regular basis, it brings the world of good.
Yep, and it makes your life go so well. It brings to mind a part of the Bible that I love. If you go to James, does this, and I love James because he's so simple in his explanation of the faith. But James 1:20 through 25 reads like this: Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that so prevails, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word, so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like.
It's interesting you raised that text, because this past Sunday I took a day to myself. I went into the Cathedral Basilica to worship. I attended Mass at 8 a.m., had some breakfast, and then I went over to Mount Airy, and I attended this lovely little African-American church. I love the name of it, the Third Eternal Baptist Church on Chew Avenue in Mount Airy. I love the name. It's unique. And they were lovely people. and it was earnest worship. I received a warm welcome and got great meat and potatoes, solid preaching. And that was the text that I believe Deacon Ford was his name. And that was the text that was utilized from James chapter 1. And I would put it this way, Paige, and I'm fearful that this will have to be the last word. If we take the time to examine ourselves on a consistent basis, it may spare us from the need of the Holy Spirit to have to slam us with a 2x4.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Judge yourself.
Last word with 10 seconds.
Judge yourself so you do not have to be judged.
Praise God. We must stop right there. Brad Lacey, Brother Paige Tyler of the 12-Step Movement for Christians, we are blessed to have you with us, and we pray for God's blessing to abide with you as the day unfolds. Do take care.